Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and that was the title track from the brand new album by our friend Dale Watson, Call Me Lucky. Thanks for joining us tonight, Dale.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I talked to you years ago, but I haven't talked to you in a while. Tell me about that song and tell me about this record.
Call Me Lucky is the song you just played. That's a title track, and it's a inspired by some Wisconsin girls that over the years, and we're talking about a lot of years, they've kind of made it a thing to take a picture of each one of them kissing me on each side of my cheek. A blonde on the left, one on the left, one on the right, a blonde and a brunette. And then one day, I was talking to them at a table, and thought, I'd make a good song for them, because I feel lucky, and that's how it happened.
What part of we have Wisconsin listeners on our show. What part of Wisconsin are they from?
Milwaukee.
That's a great town. Yeah, Milwaukee's a good town.
Yes, I mean, and like I said, they've come to every show they can make, it does make you feel lucky to be able to have fans that try to support you so often.
I'm very curious about this record because it was recorded. I knew Jerry and Knox Phillips, and you recorded this at Sam Phillips Recording. So talk about what was, tell the listeners how historic that space is. I know my friend John Prine recorded there, and I think Big Star recorded there.
Yeah.
So talk about what it's like to record the vibe and then the technology they have, and how'd you come across them?
I went there back in the 80s. Just to look at the place. That's when Roland James was still engineering there. And it was crazy. I wanted to ask, because they don't give tours like they do at Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to see the place. And he happened to be there with his keys on that keychain, that round thing that retracts and holds the keys for.
Yeah.
He's putting a moth in a closet. I thought that was the janitor. I said, "Hey, you mind if we just look around for a second?" He said, "Well, there's a session there, just don't bother nobody." And then we started looking and saying, that looks like Roland James. And they were asking him. He said, "Yeah, that's me." And just nice guy. And I got to look around and had a bug to do something there ever since then. But it wasn't until years later when Matt Rossbank, he actually just won a couple of Grammys for his engineering. And he went from Sun Studios over to Sam's. And having done that, I went over there to see more of the studio and actually recorded there, because I've done a couple of records with Matt over at Sun Studios over the years. I recorded there, I think in 99 was the first time. So I just lit a fire to be able to do something at Sam's, and I met Jerry Phillips, and we all hit it off. I even wrote some songs with Jerry, the Phillips family has been like second family to me in Memphis there. And I love recording at Sam's just as much as I love recording at Sam's.
What's up? Is it old school recording? Is it analog? I mean, what's it like there? I went through there years ago. Jerry and Knox took me through there, but I haven't been through there probably in 10, 15 years. I think
they have abilities and qualities, whether it's analog or digital. But with that record, we actually did a combination of both.
Do you feel vibe? Do you feel the history when you go in there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You can't not. It really is as far as the space and it's just like it was in 1959 when he built it. And upstairs where Sam's office was is untouched since 1959. So it's still got the breath of Sam in there somehow, and plus, Jerry and the Phillips family is still there. Judd Phillips, Phillips Jr., I guess is what he'd be called. He still works there, and Hallie works for Sam Phillips Recording, and so it's still a family business, and so you can still feel the vibe.
That's great, and you moved to Memphis, right? Like part time. Talk about that.
Right. I got a house in Memphis and a house. I can't keep my house in Austin. I always have a place here in Austin, but I'm spending more time in Memphis as much as I can, because now not just I've got a house there that's part-time Airbnb, but also I was going to say beer joint, but it's not. It's a nightclub restaurant. So it used to be pretty famous in its day. It was Hernando's Hideaway. So,
well, I've been there. I years ago.
The fact that you admit it is pretty amazing, because I mean, I've been there too, but that was back when it was a pretty shady place.
I know. I always tell people, I wrote about it, and we did the Jerry Lee Lewis ranch, and I was telling Jerry the Third. And I've been to a few bars in my lifetime. It's the only beer joint or bar or honky tonk, whatever, that I've walked across a pool of blood to get in the bar. It was was like the 80s or something when I was there. So,
well, quite frankly, though, you know, it's most of the honky tonks I played back in the 80s, late 70s and 80s, they were that way, you know.
Yeah.
That was just the nature of a beer joint, honky tonk, and all that, you know. But then, you know, it's the only bar, actually. I'm pretty sure it's the only bar in all of the world, really, that Elvis had played it, Jerry Lee, Johnny Cash at one point, Charlie Rich, Carl Perkins, Billy Riley, you know, all them guys, Charlie Feathers, they've all played that place at one time in his career, early on, of course.
Yeah, I didn't know that until Jerry the Third told me about that. So are you in the process of restoring it? When's it going to be open? We should tell the listeners, it's right, not too far from Graceland. It's right down the street there.
Right down the street, yes. It's less than a mile, maybe a mile. But we're trying to get it to like it was in the 60s, the stage-wise. In the 60s, it really didn't have, or I should say in the 50s, it didn't have that back area that was added on. But we're trying to make it like the 60s there. It's going to be a restaurant, too. So, you know, my partner is a very successful restaurateur. So, hopefully it'll be a place where, families can go see shows and also, it'll be a nightclub too.
What's the timetable? I mean, will it be open this year?
It's going to be, this year, I guess it would not this year, not 2018, but 2019.
Well, yeah,
it's
2019.
Gonna be probably March.
Oh, okay. So coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
You know, during the Maripolitans, we was hoping to get it open by then, but I think we're not going to be able to have it open by then with all the inspections and everything. So, the Maripolitans come up February 25th. So we'll probably be late March before we get it open.
I want to ask you another question. I would talk about the Maripolitan and how that's different. That was one of my questions, how that's different from Americana, and what is that, the February 25th?
Well, by definition, just a definition of a Maripolitan is original music with prominent roots influence. And how that differs from Americana is, in my opinion, again, this is my own definition, but Americana to me is original music with prominent folk and rock influence.
Ah, okay.
You know, that's just my take on it from listening to Americana format and how it would differ from if we could ever get a radio reporting format called Ameripolitan, which I'm working on now. We're trying to find get a group of reporting stations and actually have an Ameripolitan format.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break. I want to play a couple little more things off the record. It's Dale Watson. The new record came out February 15th. Call Me Lucky. It's Red House? Red House Ameripolitan Records.
It's a Red House, actually the label that's in Nashville that took it over is a Compass Records.
Oh, okay. Okay, so don't go away, and we're going to come back with more Dale Watson here on WGN's Nocturnal Journal.
Below Mississippi and a 57 Bear Lane. a southern summer would be. But I felt cool with my baby right beside me. That's heaven.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. It's Dave Hoekstra on the phone with Dale Watson. And tell us about that song, Tupelo, Mississippi, and a 57 Fairlane. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, we actually just did a video on that. So it's just probably out as we speak right now, or will be. Just really a story, you know. I'm a little bit embarrassed, and a lot of my songs come from just, you know, real moments and time in my life, you know. And I just happened to be looking for I wanted a classic car to drive around Memphis, and you know, and because when I'm at my house there, and I seen on Craigslist, this guy was selling a 57 Fairlane, and in Tupelo, so I was in town. I go, well, it's arrange it where I go down there. So I flew in and went down there. I liked it. I bought it, and I didn't realize it, but it was on the day, it was on Elvis Memorial Day.
Oh, really?
16th,
really?
When I was in Tupelo, Mississippi, picking this thing up. I go, man, I got to go by the museum over there then. I've never been there. So I went by the museum, and he said, well, on your way out, you should drive over to Johnny's Drive-In, where Elvis used to go eat every time he... You know, he's going up here. So that's where they serve dough burgers. It's been there ever since. So they got even a booth out there where Elvis used to go to sit in. So I did. I took the 57 Fairlane over there. It just felt like such a kismet thing, such a natural thing, you know, that drive a 57 Fairlane up to the Johnny's Drive-In. And I drove it into Memphis, you know, and on the way into Memphis, I wrote the song.
Wow.
Drive while I was driving. But, it, you know, it's the 57 Fairlane is, it's for almost 2 years it had a, it took me a while to get to Memphis just because almost 2 years it had a boat gasoline tank in the trunk because the original tank had rusted out. So he replaced it with a marine gas tank. So I had to stop. So I had to keep stopping about every 40 miles, you know.
In the last segment, we were talking about Memphis. I love Memphis. You know, like I told you, I was just there. And what was your decision to move there as opposed to Nashville or Chicago? I mean Nashville. But I mean, why'd you pick Memphis?
You know, I've always had a lot of fun with Memphis in a way that I've been doing records there since 1999. I went to school for a year in Jackson, Tennessee, and would visit my dad there every year for, you know, 10 years outside of Jackson there. So, I mean, it's just Memphis is always, to me, it had the influence, you know, of just Abel Sun Studio and all the acts that came out of there with Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee and Carl Perkins, Roy Orbison, Conway. You know, I mean, it's always been a spot, the Big Bang for me, a Big Bang for my musical universe. But I think mainly because it is so opposite of Nashville. And and I'm at a point in my career where I can live where I want to live. And being in Memphis is like being in Austin in the early 80s, uh-huh, where you feel something going on. The city is, they're proud of their roots and heritage. And they seem to be getting a hold of that pride, and really the city just has changed in a way that, like, you see somebody who's got newfound confidence in themselves,
uh-huh,
you know. And you know what I'm talking about, when you see somebody one day, you know, you always thought, man, they seem so depressed and just sad, you know. Then one day you see them and it's like, wow, this is a totally different person. They've discovered the self-worth, you know. And I think that's what's happened to Memphis, and I'm just proud to be getting there right at that time. And quite frankly, hopefully I'll contribute to it with the Hernandos, you know, having live music there. Live music is really thriving in Memphis
at
this moment.
Yeah. It's such a great city. I've been going there, as I said, I've been going there for years. I mean, you could do
You know, they don't tear down things just to make room for something new. They take things that have roots and build on it. In other words, most everything I see that they're building there, they use the existing building as it's and make that either whatever it's a condo or a the old railway station. They're making, I guess this is novel. You know what they're making out of the old railway station?
No, but go ahead.
A new railway station.
Yeah.
You know, they're using the same, you know, the outside of it and the beautiful architecture and the vibe that, you know, the city has. And they're just, you know, changing the infrastructure inside.
It's funny you say that. I want to do a segment. When I was down there a few weeks ago, when I saw the ranch, there's a thing called I think it's called Memphis Crossroads. They took an old Sears, an Art Deco. You should check this out if you haven't. An old Art Deco Sears building, and it's like a community center now. They've got a global cafe there and restaurants, and they just started this about a year ago. But you're exactly right.
Yes,
they took this old place, and it's really, really just great architecture and a great vibe in there. It's just a community, meeting.
You know, if you know Amy Levere and Will Sexton.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, right.
Yeah, Will Sexton is an Austin guy. Of course, him and Charlie Sexton, they're icons here in Austin. Will moved to Memphis and married Amy Levere, who's an outstanding artist herself. And they live right across the road to the house, just for a little dinner party. And right across from the road there is that old Sears building.
Yeah.
She told me about that.
Yeah, it's really, really
beautiful.
Cool.
You know, it's a beautiful building. I'm glad they didn't tear it down.
Yeah, and parking's easy. You're right. It's really nice what they're doing there. Back to the record. I mean, there's a whole Memphis. You got Jason D. Williams on here. Tell the listeners who he is on piano.
People don't know who Jason D. Williams is.
Yeah.
That's one of the life's wonderful surprises they got in store for him. Because once you discover Jason D. Williams, there's two things that go through your mind. One is, oh my God, I feel like I'm watching Jerry Lee Lewis from the 50s. You know, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. And then the second thing is, the Jim Falk of the tree. This guy who's got his own stuff to offer, but he's the epitome of Ameripolitan, where I say, you know, you have influences and you have what's in you, you know, your natural inclination, the kind of music that is of you and in you, and then it's not polluted by what Nashville or L.A. want you to do, or want to turn you into. And so, obviously, his influence is his dad, Jerry himself, and but his originality comes in. I'm gonna paraphrase a quote from John Lennon. His originality comes in on his inability to imitate Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got, in other words, Jason D. Williams has his own original stuff he puts in there that was it's just him that he can't copy Jerry Lee exactly. It's beautiful to be able to see something that's so close to Jerry Lee Lewis, but so very original. Yeah. It's exciting, you know. I mean, and that's what I think is when I tell all these artists that come to Ameripolitan or nominated. I said, you know, don't change anything. Just go with your heart. Do what you're doing. You know, if they want to change on their own to do something else, that's in them too. You know, don't do it just because a record company wants you to do it or to sell records. You know.
Yeah. Well, we're lucky to have you. Lucky that you're doing this. Your record is called "Call Me Lucky." It's Dale Watson. That's on Red House. Is there a website where people can follow you and get more information?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's DaleWatson.com or Facebook. I'm on the Facebook too. I answer all those things myself, Instagram, Twitter. So they can get a hold of me all through that, and it comes directly to me. Oh. And also, you know, you mentioned Jason D. Williams on the record. I don't want to forget about I had W.S. Holland on one song.
Yeah,
played on the Dumb song.
Yeah, you had Mickey Raphael on harmonica.
Yeah, that's another thing. It was planned to be Mickey mostly on it in the first place, and then when it schedules kind of got screwed around and couldn't really get him in there on the right day, so we didn't get him on all the stuff. But when the horns came in, you know, it kind of juggled some of the harmonica stuff. So Mickey, who plays harmonica for Willie Nelson, of course,
yeah, right.
probably the most famous sounding harmonica in music. You know. Yeah, it was great to have him there too. You know, it was quite a couple of days of sessions. You know.
Well, good for you. We're going to take a break, and we'll do one more session. I got to talk about our mutual love of truck driving and stuff. So this will be fun, and we'll talk about a new track on the record. So don't go away with Dale Watson on WGN's Nocturnal Journal.
David Parks Kemper, Vignano, Estacado. Farms 3,700 acres outside of Lubbock. He's a harvest-bound trucker hauling wheat and corn and sorghum. David Bucks Kemper of Llano Estacado. He's a farming trucker.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. And we're so lucky to have Dale Watson on from Austin, Texas. Truck driving music, David Bucks Kemper. Now, he's a real guy, so talk about this track.
He's a real guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was strange. I discovered him. He sent me an email through the website. Like I said, he didn't hold me through there, Facebook. And he sent an email saying that he had just discovered me through Reverend Horton Heat, who's I toured with him. He's a mutual friend, more on the rockabilly side of the world. And we had a tour, and so he decided to look up some of my music, and he found the truck driving albums. I got three trucking albums.
I've got them. And, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember he played the very first one. I mean, we were way back there.
Yes.
But him and his fond memories are him and his dad watching Hee Haw and listening to trucking songs we're back in the 70s when the trucking songs were big, you know. And so he just kind of it connected him with an old love that he didn't even realize he had. And so he reached out to me, and so I thought his story was interesting, because he said, yeah, I got a truck, but I only drive it, you know, one day a year, or 2 days a year, I guess, yeah. Hardest time, you know. And so I said, expound on it. Tell me more about it. And so he did, and I put it in a song. And so he loves it. He's become a local celebrity in Lubbock there, or Llano Estacado, actually.
Where was, like I said, I know you've got a great history with truck driving. Do you really have a commercial driver's license? I've never asked you that before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have the CDL, have the Met car, I have the... I have to do a drug test, random drug testing. I have to get my ICTA taxes. I have to do all of it. Yeah.
Do you actually drive the bus sometimes? Do you drive? Do you drive the bus, the band bus, sometimes?
Well, yeah. Now that I'm in between bus drivers, yeah, I drive it all the time. Yeah.
One time I was on a story with.
Actually, I don't know if you know this. I'm not really. I don't. I'm not a singer. I'm Dale Watson's bus driver. I call myself, when I'm driving the bus, I call myself Earl Change. Earl Change.
Now, one time I did a story with Asleep at the Wheel. They put me on that old bus. I forgot whose bus it was. Was it Ernest Tubbs? I don't know. It was years ago. It was in the 90s. And Ray Benson took over the wheel, but that was a little scary. I was sitting next to him, and I was a little nervous.
Funny, you know, the bus I got right now, I bought from Ray Benson.
Did you really?
Yeah, he bought from Carlos Santana.
Did he really? What kind of bus? Now, this wasn't on my list of questions. What kind of bus is it?
That's a Prevo, 1997 Prevo.
Yeah,
before that, I had an Eagle, and that was kind of bus that the Ernest Tubb bus that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a Prevo now, and I used to belong to Ray. I love Ray. Ray Benson's a dear friend, and has helped me tremendously.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So the truck driving.
I'd be nervous if he was driving too.
Yeah. the truck driving thing, I mean, that's just been part of a cornerstone of your music. I mean, your voice is so good for that. But how'd you get into that, and why do you continue?
Well, my dad was a truck driver.
Yeah.
My dad was a truck driver. So and then in the 90s, you always wanted to write a trucking album, because I did this thing, it was a truck stop tour back in the days when they used to have the road gang on the radio, and they lined it up with a charity and this flatbed trailer, and it would go around to truck stops, and we'd play on the flatbed. And so during that time, I wrote enough songs to do an album. So truck drivers and musicians pretty much travel the same roads all the time. And so it felt hand in hand when you're talking about the road life of a musician or road life of a trucker.
Well, that's why I like talking about it. The show at night is heard in 38 states and northern Mexico. So I'm sure we have some truckers who listen. So that's why it's an important part of my repertoire. I bet you played I think I remember this now, because I stopped there now and then when I'm driving around. I bet you that tour took you to the world's largest truck stop over there in Walcott, Iowa. Yeah.
Yeah, Walcott. You bet. Absolutely. I played there, which is amazing. If anybody hasn't been there, especially during the trucking days over there, they should go to that. It's just anytime you stop over there, I end up losing myself. That's like a candy story. The chrome, water put on the bus, and this and that.
And it's clean. I mean, there's no hookers or anything, right, Dale?
Sadly, it's pretty clean. It's a very family.
It is
friendly place.
They got a museum. They got a museum there and stuff.
They got a museum. They got a movie theater. They got a barber shop. I think they got a dentist office.
Yeah. Well, what a great record, Dale Watson. There's not a 12 tracks. There's not a bad track on it. Johnny and June. You want to touch on that before we go? I mean, that's so good. Sure. Yeah, talk about that one.
Well, I wrote that with Celine Lee, who is a great rockabilly artist, and we just started talking from text. I started writing songs with her because I seen a picture on her Facebook, and I met her in New York City, but I seen a picture on her Facebook, and it inspired me to write an EP of songs. And we did it over text, so it happened so easily. She came up with this idea, and so we just wrote it right there. It didn't take long at all. I was driving at the time, so I had to have my daughter text back, to her. So it was written by me and her, but somehow my daughter was involved too. But it's very, it's the heartfelt song in a way that, and that was, it happened right after Johnny had died, I guess. And he just kind of epitomized such great love for a woman. And so if you're going to miss somebody, I feel like he died from missing June. He didn't die from his Parkinson's. I think he just died because he just missed her so much.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. Thank you so much, Dale Watson. Thanks for being so generous with your time. I do have one more question. Dale, I'm looking at the CD here. Dale Watson, Call Me Lucky on Red House. It says a Compass Records Group here on the label.
That's right.
Where was the artwork taken? No, on the back, no dope smoking, no cursing, no free EH. Where was this shot?
You don't recognize that place. No. Actually, it's upstairs, so you may not. It's in Memphis, there, a place called... Ernestine and Hazel's.
Oh, Ernestine and Hazel's. Yeah, okay. I've been up there, but it was crowded when I was up there years ago. So, yeah.
Really? Because upstairs was a bordello.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so maybe somebody...
It was crowded. It was crowded in that bordello.
It's not... for the listeners, now that's not far from the train station, right?
It's right across the street.
Yeah, up in there. Great.
Well, for the listeners, it's what used to be a bordello back in the day.
Yeah.
It's not a bordello anymore.
Yeah.
Ernestine Hazel's is great. They get a fantastic burger there and some good beer. So.
Okay, you're a good man, Dale Watson, and we'll keep in touch with you and let listeners know when you come up to Chicago, too. Probably this summer, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're coming through there. I think I'm coming through there with Kinky Cleveland, too. So, see you. I think actually March. Might be in March.
Okay.
I'll have to check.
Okay, we'll find out. Thanks, Dale, and stay in touch. And that's
adios, amigo.
Dale Watson, that's for all the truck drivers out there. And no Chicago dates quite yet. So we'll keep you posted here.